Amen. Amen. So we're in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I don't know if you got me back there, Miss Anita, because I don't feel like I got any kind of... I don't have anything on this mic. There you go. All right. Maybe you can hear me, but I can't hear myself, so... Maybe that's good, maybe that's bad. Thank you, Miss Anita. Matthew chapter 5, we've been looking at the Beatitudes, and I want to look at verse 9 tonight. The Bible says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Now, I want us to look at what a peacemaker is. I want us to look at the ultimate example of a peacemaker. And we're going to look at some radical things about this beatitude and the benefits, and then we're going to look at a question concerning this. Now, we see in verse 1, it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountains, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him." There's so much in that verse as far as example and principle that you could preach a message on that, but it really was setting the example that you need to come apart from the multitude sometimes to hear from God. And the disciples followed him and they sat down. Now, this is called the Sermon on the Mount, but really it says he taught them. So it was the teaching on the Mount. And it's interesting how somebody coins a phrase and it sticks. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. And so each one of these Beatitudes are foundational to the next. We started off with poor in spirit, and then they that mourn, and meek, and hunger and thirst, and merciful, and pure in heart. And these are all foundational layers. And the Lord, there's an order to these. Okay? Now, we look at verse 9, and it's the last beatitude that has to do with the personal character of the Christian. Personal character. What a character! The character is, when we talk about character, we're talking about what you really are. What God knows you to be, not what you put on. You know, you ever met somebody and you thought one thing about them, and then you got to know them, you say, "Oh, they're a little bit different," when you get to know them more, because their character came out, the real them came out. They took the mask off and the costume off. And so this is a character thing. Now, when you think about peacemaker, let's understand the word peace means shalom. It's Hebrew, and it's not just peace, but it's a whole life of peace. And the word maker is an action word. It's a forward leaning word. It has to do with pursuing an absence of conflict, a wholeness and well-being. So that's what that's the meaning of the peacemaker. Now, let me say this. It's not a laid-back, laissez-faire, everything is cool, everything is okay individual. That's not what a peacemaker is. It's contrary to what many think, a peacemaker could be one that makes waves. You say, "Well, what are you talking about, preacher?" Well, let me give you the characteristics of a peacemaker. Let's look at the characteristics. As we studied this verse, we found there are three characteristics in the Bible that teach us about what a peacemaker is. First word that comes to mind, and first thing we study, is they're honest. They're honest.
Amen.
You ever heard the phrase brutally honest? You know, some people say, "Well, you know, you don't have to be that honest. You know, you just brought me down." You know, it's like the guy that went abroad and he left, his neighbor was taking care of his cat and looking in on his mother. And he called up and he says, "Well, how's the cat?" He said, "The cat's dead." He said, "The cat's dead. Why?" He said, "Could you, the first call you could have said, the cat's up on the roof." And then his second call, you could have said, the cat has fallen and is seriously injured. And then the next call, you could have said, the cat passed away. He said, well, how's mom doing? He said, she's up on the roof. You know, this is not talking about somebody being, and it's not talking about somebody stating the obvious. How many of you know somebody just always states the obvious? Mm-hmm. And they're aggravated. It's obnoxious. That's not very intelligible. And so think about this. Ezekiel chapter 13, 10, the prophet said this. Listen, because they have seduced my people saying peace, and there is no peace. Now listen what he says about what they're saying. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. You say, what are you saying? Well, they put a wall up, but to hold that wall together, they put up concrete that was weak, that was not proven. What's that wall going to do? It's going to fall down. Mm-hmm. And he says that statement, when you're saying, you're talking about peace, there is no peace. Where there is no peace, Ezekiel was being honest. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 10 and 11 and verse 14, it says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. I mean, he's just coming out saying that they don't care about what God says. Therefore, I am full of fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of the young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. Now, what's Jeremiah talking about? Jeremiah, God called Jeremiah to tell the children of Israel, you're going to die. Nebuchadnezzar is going to come through and he's going to kill people. And he's called the weeping prophet. They call him the weeping prophet. And it talks about, if you study, there were literally dead bodies laying all over Israel. Because, and Jeremiah told them the truth. Verse 14 of that chapter says this, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Now, what's it saying? What are we talking about here? A peacemaker, the first characteristic of a peacemaker is you have to be honest. Amen. You have to be honest. Now, let me say something else. A peacemaker, secondly, is willing to risk pain. You know, anytime you attempt to bring peace or get into a situation to help, there's going to be misunderstanding. There's probably going to be failure. You understand? A peacemaker is not afraid to take a risk. A peacemaker follows the leading of God, the Holy Spirit, and if God leads them to help someone, not everybody you're going to help. I mean, you know, you try to help somebody, they'll bite you, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You ever tried to help somebody and they didn't want, they really got mad? Right? Huh? Well, a peacemaker will continue to have that characteristic. Willing to take a risk. Every time we try to help someone, we put ourselves out there. That's why I meet a lot of Christians say, well, you know, I kind of keep to myself. I stay withdrawn. I'm not a people person. I'm not this. Well, you know, you can't serve the Lord that way. And you certainly can't be a peacemaker. So a peacemaker is first honest and willing to take a risk. Let me give you something else to think about. A peacemaker is a fighter.
Amen.
You say, wait a minute, this has blown my thought of a peacemaker all out of the world. Listen, he makes trouble to make peace. Sometimes there's got to be trouble to make peace. Let me ask you something. If you're hurting and the doctor says there's something in there inside you, I got to cut you open, take out, and you won't hurt anymore, what are you going to say? Can you do it tonight? You know, can you get it? You know, take it out. Get it out. And he has to cut you. He literally has to take a knife and cut you open. Have you ever seen anybody cut open? You know the skin you cut on the this is just a little thin coating. When you're cut open, man, it's like a big old steak. Mm-hmm. I mean it's interesting. It's interesting. And cut and then get down in there and yank it out. Right? And then you have to lay in the bed and but you know what? The pain's gone. Right? Sometimes there has to be a stirring up. Sometimes there has to be a fight in order for things to be made peaceful. Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. Listen to this verse. Listen. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. See, sometimes people are going down the wrong road. You got to get them back on that road to peace. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. If it be possible, here's what God says. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now there's going to be some times it won't be accomplished. Let me say this. James chapter 3 and verse 17. Look what it says here. It says verse 17, 18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in the peace of them that make peace.
Amen.
Sometimes you got to fight to get it. So the characteristics of a peacemaker is they're honest, they're willing to risk pain, they're a fighter. Listen to this, I wrote this down. This person is positive, humble, and has his ego in hand. Okay? A peacemaker. The ultimate peacemaker. Let's turn in some scriptures. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Let's think about the ultimate peacemaker. You all know who this is, don't you? Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. One of my favorite verses. It says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and what's the last name that God, the Prince of Peace. Look at chapter 57, Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. And look at verses 7 through 10. 57, 7 through 10. Upon a lofty and high mountain thou hast set thy bed, even thither went thou up to offer sacrifice. Behind the doors and also the posts hast thou set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another than me. Thou art gone down, thou hast enlarged my bed, and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest, and thou wentest to the king with the ointment, and didst incense and perfumes, and did send thy messengers far off, and didst debase thyself even unto hell. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet saidest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. This is talking about peace with God. Peace with God. Ezekiel chapter 37. Look at Ezekiel chapter 37. Who's the ultimate peacemaker? It's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's Jesus Christ. Look at verse 24. It says, And David my servant shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be the prince, their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and multiply and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them, Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The heathen and the heathen shall know that the Lord, that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. The Lord is the Prince of Peace, and he's the ultimate peacemaker. Let's think about how he gave us peace. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. We're going to a lot of scriptures tonight, but I want you to get this, these foundational truths before we move on. Colossians chapter 1, familiar verse 19 and 20. For it pleased the Father that in him should the fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him. I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. What's it saying? We have peace through the cross. We have peace through the cross. Now there's a cross down there in Hyattsville. They call it the Peace Cross. I think it's Hyattsville. Is that Hyattsville? Yeah. They call it the Peace Cross. Huh?
Lanesburg.
Wherever, but it hadn't brought any peace. It's a nice memorial, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't bring peace. See? And so Jesus, when Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, he shed his blood. He made the opportunity for peace between us and God. Between us and Almighty God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. Look what it says. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. I know you're not tired. I don't hear those Bibles turning. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. Notice what it says. But now in Christ, ye who were sometimes, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. By what? The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. And notice, so he's the Prince of Peace. He's given us peace. He's the one that gave us peace. Now, he is, and notice this thought, he becomes our peace. He becomes our peace. Look at John chapter 14 and verse 27. John chapter 14 and verse 27. Y'all know this. John 14 and verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, if you have any peace in this world, it's from Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's the only place it comes from. It doesn't come from a big bank account. It doesn't come from somebody being out of your life. There's no peace. There's no peace. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Even the salvation of your souls. He became our peace. Look back to Philippians chapter 2. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verses 3 through 8. Let nothing be done through strife or gain vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So, we learned what a peacemaker is, but the ultimate peacemaker, the one we learn from, the one we want to pattern ourselves after, is Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this. There's a radical, this thought, a radical call for peacemakers. You say, what are you saying? Well, this secular world, I don't know if you understand this, but the Beatitudes are known by a lot more people than Christians. They're quoted by a lot of people.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, this peacemaker verse is quoted by a lot of people, and these Beatitudes have literally become, in the minds of the world, the gospel. It's not. You see, it's a tragic thing that people in the world, and you hear politicians, you hear people quote verses, and they're out of context and they're out of character, especially for the wicked people that are quoting them.
Mm-hmm.
They're quoting them. We had people quoting verses about the Bible where it said, in support of killing babies. That's not right. You said who is it not right according to the God?
Amen.
God. And so here it is. We've got the meaning, and then we understand Jesus is the example. But the call for these peacemakers. Listen. Let me say this. This call demands an impossible change. I'm intimidated by these Beatitudes. That's a problem. When you take a close look at the Bible, it gets real personal. If you're a Christian, it gets real convicting. And I look at some of these Beatitudes, Brother Walter, and I say, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And I can't do it on my own. Right? I can't do it on my own. No, let me say some things. This impossible change, the change can only become possible as a person has a true experience of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I was talking to a guy today. He wanted to know what kind of preacher I was, and I got into it, and he says, I'm a Catholic. I said, well, we let Catholics into our church. We got a certain section for them. He said, where? He said, I said, on the front row.
Amen.
I said, you don't go to church. You don't go to Catholic church. And I said, you just use that label Catholic. He said, yeah, you're right. But a lot of people, and then he started saying, he said, well, what do you believe? And I said, well, we can have a personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, shed blood on the cross. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. And if we'll call on God as a sinner, he'll save us. He said, well, that's like catechism. I said, no, it's not. He looked at me. You see, you go to a class and then you're in. That's not how it is. So this impossible change to be a peacemaker, you've got to be saved. Let me say something else. The second is you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you.
Amen.
Because a person that's going to be a peacemaker, you're going to put yourself out there, you're going to be honest, you're going to be a fighter, you're going to help. You're not going to be the kind of person that is not listening to the Holy Spirit. Let me say this, the ultimate benefit. What does it say? Look at verse 9. Help me, class. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, what? Real loud. For they shall be called the what?
The children of God.
Now, I got to tell you something. I call myself one. But this is, they shall be called. Now, let me just say something about that statement. That statement is for a certain group of people, nobody else. Now, there are a lot of people that are saved and they call themselves children of God, but God calls these people, the children of God, because they're peacemakers. That's the benefit. I want God to call me his child. Huh? Now, I know, I've come across people that are ashamed of their kids. Don't want anybody to know that that's their kid.
Wow.
Right? Let me say this. This is a sign. This term is assigned by God himself. This is not a term that's assigned by other people. That's the benefit. That's the benefit. Now, so we see what a peacemaker is. We see who the ultimate example is. We see there's a difference between what the world thinks is a peacemaker and what God says is a peacemaker. Now, here's the ultimate question. Am I a peacemaker? Am I a peacemaker? Think about this. If you're a peacemaker, if you're not a peacemaker but a troublemaker, you might not be a true believer.
Wow.
You say, well, preacher, that's just kind of honest. Well, that's the first step of being a peacemaker. Let's make some trouble first and get straight tonight. Amen?
Amen.
1 Corinthians. Look at some scripture with me. 1 Corinthians 6. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6. Look what it says. 1 Corinthians 6. Look at verse 9. Know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye were washed, ye were sanctified, but ye were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. What is he saying there? Listen, if you're known as a troublemaker, if you're known as something other, you might not be a Christian.
Amen.
Wow. You say, preacher, those are strong words. Let me tell you, there's going to be some strong words at the great white throne judgment. Depart from me, I never knew you. Mm-hmm. See, Christianity is not being a member of a church or being baptized or catechized or homogenized. It is being saved. Amen. Born again. And if you're not a peacemaker and you're a troublemaker, that's a time to take an examination. That's time for a spiritual biopsy. Amen?
Amen.
To find out what the problem is. I put this down. Realize this beatitude describes the true character of a Christian, not a put-on. You know, there's too many people faking it. Mm-hmm. You can fake it here, but you can't fake it there. You can't put on Christianity. You can't put on being a peacemaker. We got to get real with this thing. Now let me read something, and I'm done tonight. Wrote this down. How beautiful true peacemakers are, filled with peace themselves. They are honest about the state of relationships around them, whether personal or in the church or in the world. They are honest about what is in their own hearts and sensitive to where others are. They refuse to be satisfied with cheap peace. To say peace, peace, when there is none. They are willing to risk pain and misunderstanding to make things right. Peacemakers will even fight for peace.
Amen.
Are you there? Are you at that point? Are you at that point where peace matters more than you do? Peace matters more than what you want? Peace matters more than the cost? When Jesus Christ died on the cross, allowed the sinner to crucify the Creator, that was the cost for peace. Amen?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we pray that you'd bless the invitation. We pray that you'd work in our hearts in Jesus' name. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. God spoke to your heart. Hey, let's do inventory. Question is, am I a peacemaker? Am I a peacemaker? Am I willing? To be honest. Am I willing to take a risk? Am I willing to fight for peace? Am I willing to put my ego aside? Thank you. Be seated. Let's have an usher. Grab a plate. You're all dressed up, no place to go. Lord, bless the gift and the giver in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Nora is a Nora, right? What year are you?
Year.
First year?
Yeah, I just graduated.
Okay. Did you graduate with? Oh, you did. Your buddies, huh? Good. Good. Amen. Amen. Well, let's continue to pray for each other. Pray for the folks that are sick. And let's also be faithful on Sunday. And bring somebody with you. And continue to pray for what's going on with the church as far as discipleship. And pray for me as I prepare messages. And let's continue to pray for each other. Continue to pray for the Kearneys as they travel. We had a good time with them this past Sunday.
Amen.
So let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the time you've given us. Bless us as we go. Give us a good finish to the week. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Last night, man.
I was going through that.